This content is AI-generated for informational purposes only and should not be directly used for clinical decision-making.
Hello, and welcome back to the Neurosurgery Hub podcast. I'm Dr. Aris, Senior Attending Neurosurgeon, and today we are tackling a clinical dilemma that every one of us has faced in the OR at 2 a.m.
And I'm Dr. Ilara. Today we're looking at a fascinating new study from the journal Neurosurgical Review, published in 2026. It's titled, The Role of Bone Flap Explantation in the Recurrence of Surgical Site Infection After Elective Craniotomy, a Multicenter Propensity-Matched Cohort Study.
This is a big one, Ilara. Surgical site infection, or SSI, is the bane of elective craniotomy. We see rates anywhere from 0.7% to 4.1% in the literature. But the real headache isn't just the first infection, it's the revision. When you go back in for debridement, do you leave the bone flap in or do you take it out?
Exactly, Dr. Aris. There hasn't been a clear evidence-based guideline on whether immediate reimplantation or total explantation, essentially a craniectomy, is better for reducing the risk of a second infection. This study, led by Kristen Lucia and a multi-center team in Germany, really tries to put some data behind that decision.
Right. And they didn't just look at a single center's experience. They pulled data from university hospitals in Frankfurt, Mainz, Heidelberg, and Munich, plus two tertiary care hospitals. That gives us a much broader perspective.
It does. They looked at 160 patients who needed revision surgery for SSI after an elective craniotomy. To make the comparison fair, they used propensity score matching. They matched 80 patients who had their bone flap reimplanted against 80 patients who had it explanted.
Now, for the residents listening, propensity matching is crucial here because surgeons usually make the decision to remove the bone based on how bad the wound looks. If you just compared them raw, the explantation group would naturally look worse because they were sicker to begin with. What did they match for specifically, Ilara?
They matched 1-to-1 for age and the frail score. They used nearest neighbor matching with a caliper width of 2 standard deviations. By doing this, they balanced the baseline surgical risk and the physiological reserve of the patients in both groups.
That's a robust way to handle retrospective data. So let's get into the meat of the study. What happened when they opened these patients back up?
Well, the results were quite striking. Recurrent SSI, meaning the infection came back after the revision, occurred significantly less often in the bone flap explantation group. We're talking 18% in the explantation group versus a staggering 49% in the reimplantation group. The p-value was 0.001.
Wait, let's pause there. Nearly half of the patients who had their bone flap put back in after a debridement ended up with a recurrent infection?
That's what the data shows, 49%. And what's even more interesting is that the explantation group actually showed signs of more extensive infection during the initial revision. Despite facing a dirtier field, the act of removing the bone flap was protective enough to drop the recurrence rate down to 18%.
That really challenges the wash and replace mentality. We often want to save the bone to avoid a secondary craniotomy later. But if the trade-off is a 50-50 shot of the patient ending back in the OR with a reinfection, we have to rethink that. Did they look at how long these patients were staying in the hospital?
They did. Even though the explantation group had more extensive initial infections, their post-operative hospitalization was actually shorter, 7 days compared to 12 days in the reimplantation group. That almost hit significance with a p-value of 0.051.
So better infection control and potentially getting the patient home 5 days sooner. That's a massive reduction in healthcare burden. Let's talk about the predictors. Aside from just taking the bone out, what else influenced whether a patient stayed clean?
The researchers used Cox regression analysis to find independent predictors of reduced SSI recurrence. 3 things stood out. First, if the infection was limited to the subcutaneous tissue, meaning it hadn't reached the bone or the epidural crease yet, the outcomes were much better.
That makes sense. Catching it early and superficial is key. What was the second factor?
Perioperative antibiotic administration. It sounds basic, but the rigorous application of targeted antibiotics was a major factor in preventing that second hit.
And the third?
Shorter post-revision hospital stay. It's a bit of a chicken and egg situation, but patients who were able to be discharged sooner generally had a lower risk of recurrence, likely because they weren't being exposed to the hospital environment for as long.
Let's dive a bit deeper into the intraoperative findings. The paper mentions that the decision for craniectomy was ultimately at the discretion of the surgeon, but there were some general rules.
Right. The study notes that signs of intracerebral, subdural, or in most cases, epidural infection generally prompted the surgeon to explant the bone flap. This is the standard danger zone. If the infection is deep to the bone is likely colonized.
And that's the problem with bone. It's porous. Once bacteria get into those haversian canals, no amount of betadine or vancomycin powder is going to reliably scrub it clean. The study really reinforces the idea that if there is any doubt about the extent of the infection, the bone flap is a liability.
It also mentions that for the patients who had a craniectomy, it tracked the timing of the subsequent craniotomy. While that wasn't the primary focus of the paper, it's the logical next step for these patients, moving towards alloplastic material or stored autologous bone later on.
Which carries its own risks, but as this study suggests, those risks might be lower than the risk of keeping an infected flap in place. Now, let's talk about the study population. They included patients from age 0 to 95. They excluded emergency craniotomies and cases where bone cement was used in the index procedure. Why do you think they excluded emergency cases?
Likely to keep the cohort as clean as possible in terms of elective variables. Emergency cases, trauma, ruptured aneurysms, often have other confounding factors like scalp lacerations or prolonged periods of hypotension that could skew the infection data. By focusing on elective craniotomies, they really isolated the surgical strategy for the SSI itself.
I think that's a strength of the study. It makes it very applicable to our daily tumor and vascular volume. So, Alara, if a resident comes to you during a revision for a wound dehiscence and they say, the bone looks okay, let's just soak it in antibiotics and put it back, what is your response based on this paper?
I'd point them to that 49% recurrence rate. I'd say the data from this multicenter study shows that even if the bone looks okay to the naked eye, reimplantation leads to reinfection in nearly half of these cases. The study provides clear evidence that explantation is a substantially lower reinfection rates.
And it's not just about the infection. It's about the patient's journey. If we can reduce their hospital stay from 12 days to 7 and avoid a third or fourth surgery, we are doing our jobs better.
Exactly. The authors conclude that bone flap explantation is a superior strategy for improving outcomes and reducing the economic burden on the healthcare system. It's a call for more definitive decision-making in the OR.
Any limitations we should be aware of? It is a retrospective study, even with the matching.
Yes, that's always the caveat. While the propensity matching for age and frail score helps, there are always unmeasured variables in retrospective reviews, like the specific strain of bacteria or the exact nuances of the surgeon's technique that aren't captured in the notes. But a one-to-one match of 160 patients across multiple centers is a very strong signal.
It's a very strong signal indeed. It's the kind of study that should be cited in our morbidity and mortality conferences. It gives us a benchmark. If your department is reimplanting bone flaps and seeing high recurrence, this paper provides the evidence for a change in protocol.
And for the medical students listening, pay attention to the frail score mentioned here. It's becoming a huge part of neurosurgical research. Understanding that the patient's overall physiological state is often just as important as the procedure itself when it comes to complications like SSI.
Well said, Alara. This paper by Lucia et al. Is definitely going on the required reading list for my residents this week. It's a clear, multi-center look at a problem we've dealt with mostly by gut feeling for too long.
Agreed. It really brings some objective clarity to a very difficult clinical moment.
That's all the time we have for today's episode of the Neurosurgery Hub podcast. Thank you, Dr. Alara, for breaking down this study.
My pleasure, Dr. Aris.
To our listeners, keep reading, keep questioning, and we'll see you in the next episode. Stay sharp.